Welcome, everybody, to the FPV News. And welcome you and me, too, Blunty.
Yeah.
Good to see you, man.
Another Tuesday, back doing the FPV News.
That's right. Another Tuesday News Day. Yes, somebody in the chat was like, oh, is there new music? No, there hasn't. And, I mean, at this point, there never will be.
Yeah, I think episode 4 or something, we picked the music, maybe?
Did we?
Episode 7?
Yeah. Wow. You remember, I'm glad you remember these things.
Yeah, I remember a lot of mundane facts.
Yeah, very useful. And I don't. That's why we make a great team. Similar to me and my wife, actually. I don't know where we want to take that, but you know, we were prepping for the news, Blunty, and my coat was all like this, and I kind of went like this, and then I kind of went like this. And then I was like, oh. And then you said.
Yeah, I said you look like you're about to audition for the X-Men.
And so if you guys are wondering why I'm like popping my collar, it's a hood, actually. Why I'm doing that throughout the whole stream, that's why. Because I want to look. If you have the choice to look like you're auditioning for the X-Men, you totally should do it. Right? I mean, come on. Yeah, go ahead.
That's a dichotomy between people. I think there are people who want to look like that and people who don't want to look like that.
That's fair. I mean, I don't want to look like that. That sounds like a lot of trouble to look like that every day.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, since I'm wearing this coat already, I might as well. Anyway, we are going to do some FPV news. We are going to be catching you up on things that happen in the world of FPV.
Yeah.
We're going to start out with some public service announcements.
Yeah,
and we got a big one. We got a big one. The first one.
Yeah, the first one's pretty big. So warning to anybody who's got a RadioMaster Ranger module. Basically, RadioMaster released a statement that says there's issues with the RadioMaster Ranger, but it looks like it's both versions of it. And if you plug in the XT30 connector, it has a possibility to fry your radio because you're plugging in that XT30 from the radio. So
yeah, that's no good.
Yes,
And it is a hardware defect in the module.
Yes.
Something like when you plug that XT30 in, it could be up to a 4S voltage. I think it's between 2S and 4S, if my memory's correct. And your radio is probably running off of 2S. And therefore, they need to be protected from each other. And I'm guessing that somewhere in there, that has failed. And that voltage is getting fed back in. That is purely speculation. But what we do know is that RadioMaster has acknowledged this. I was super disappointed to hear this because the whole point of the RadioMaster Ranger line is that RadioMaster is making high quality, trustworthy hardware, not like all those other yuck chuckleheads. And, we're frying radios. So the least they could do is make it right. What have they said about how they're going to make it right?
Which they have said they'll do. Basically, I've already talked to one user who he posted in your Discord, and he said he got they're going to send him a replacement board for his radio and the replacement board for the RadioMaster Ranger when that is done. They've guaranteed they'll ship out Ranger PCBs for everyone after Chinese New Year, and they can get new ones done. Mm-hmm. Until that time, obviously, you shouldn't use the XT30 connection, and if you do damage your radio, you can contact them directly at their after-sales support. There's a link here. We'll have that in the video description. You can click on the post and then click their bit.ly link for their after-sales support team. So it does look like they are trying to make good on this. Also, people want to make sure it's clear that it looks like it's the micro and the nano, but that single, just the Ranger module that's not a micro or nano, the $99 one, does not look like it has this issue. Yeah.
Okay. So everybody makes mistakes. It's unfortunate, especially when hardware's getting fried. And I hope that they stand behind their reputation. Everybody who fried their radio, they replaced the fried hardware. I know there are going to be people who are annoyed if the solution is we ship you a board and you replace the board. because they're like, well, shouldn't you just ship me a brand new radio, or shouldn't you take my radio and take it to your service center, which may or may not exist, and repair it? And that's the kind of service you would get if this was Spectrum, I guess, but...
Yeah, they say they do say replacing the PCB is very easy. It requires only a screwdriver and a few minutes. So, yeah.
But I feel like in the world of FPV, the level of customer service we've come to expect is, we will give you $15 rebate on your next purchase.
Right.
And so if they're going to send you a whole new radio board, sadly, that's actually like above and beyond. I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I'll just mention that it's if you order from Radio Master, they'll automatically be sent. They're not asking you to request them, which is different than a lot of manufacturers do. And they said if you order them from somebody else, you can contact the retailer for those replacements as well. So.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. For now, do not plug anything into the XT30 on the back of those modules. By the way, not that you have to. I mean, like, you might conveniently decide that you want to, but you don't have to. There's no reason to do that. You could, I mean, is there a reason to do that?
There might be some radios that can't go up to that 1 watt. I'm not 100% sure.
I guess it depends on the internal power supply inside your radio, whether it can really do that 1 watt or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, there we go. Now you know. And we will wait to see the outcome, and we will follow up on this. Let's make sure we follow up on this, Blunty, and make sure that they're following through in the way that we hope that they would.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. And we got one more PSA. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Like Brian Lewis says, if you've got the Radio Master Zorro, which has a really small internal battery, you might want to do something like that. But you could just as easily use the external. The Zorro has an auxiliary power plug that you could also use, which could work. Anyway. We got one more PSA, Blunty. Go ahead.
Yeah, so this one is kind of rare for, because this is a DJI issue with QC, it looks like, or at least a batch issue. And it's pretty rare for DJI to release something like that. So, unfortunately, they've got issues with the O3 air unit camera. There are people reporting issues with, like, extra jello in that camera. And here we got a video from Darren Allett, and we've also got a linked Facebook post as the one he references from Darren Lee in the FPV Life group. And basically, as you'll see in the video, hard mounted or soft mounted, no matter what the PWM, he was always getting this jello. And then he followed the Facebook post from Darren Lee, which shows to glue or put some kind of adhesive on the camera barrel, the lens barrel, basically. And that stops it from moving. And that basically seems to cure all the issues here. So it seems like this is an issue on all the units, but it is an issue on at least a large batch of these units. I've heard quite a few users start reporting this. So
now this is interesting because DJI has said there may be some issues with motor PWM frequency, making the built-in stabilization not work correctly. And I wonder if some of the people who think they have problems with motor PWM, et cetera, are actually experiencing this issue. And that's why your built-in stabilization is not working right.
Yeah, I would agree that. I think if you have an O3 air unit and you have jello in the camera that you can't really fix very easily, and you don't have jello in other cameras with similar setups, I think this is definitely something I would look at attempting. Unfortunately, this fix does have you apply, you know, either glue or liquid tape, you know, something like that to hold that, and you have to put an adhesive on a piece of hardware you bought, which is kind of unfortunate. So hopefully DJI will come out with some kind of solution for this, or some kind of maybe replacement program if people aren't comfortable with that, or if they mess it up or something, that sort of thing. DJI typically makes good on this stuff, but I think enough people need to make a fuss about it for that to happen.
Yeah. So, I mean, DJI is, I think, the kind of company that if there's an issue, they will replace your hardware, really no questions asked.
Yes.
But if this is an ongoing problem, then the new hardware you get may have the problem too. And I guess we just don't know.
Yes. Yeah.
How widespread this is.
I mean, my memory of experience with stuff like this with DJI is if you ask support about this, most of the support agents won't know until a time which everybody's briefed And then suddenly all the support agents will know that they need to replace it. Otherwise, you might be fighting to get a replacement. So,
because you're going to call them up and say, I have Jello, and they're going to say, oh, this is a known issue. Change your PWM frequency.
Correct. And you're going to have to fight with, you might have to fight with the reps or do some arguing back and forth or get the right rep. You know how this stuff goes with support agents. Sometimes with large companies, unfortunately, one of the downsides of DJI sometimes, they can do good support, but also for these niche cases, you can have some trouble. So hopefully they'll get a wind to this and enough people will be letting people know this is happening, that they'll put it on the list. And this is easy replacement for people who need it. And hopefully these future batches won't have this. That's the biggest hope, I think, for this. So.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to make enough of a stink that it gets back to DJI and they need to fix it, right?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. Well, thank you to Darren Allitt. And who else should I credit?
Darren Lee in Darren the PD Life Group. Yeah.
For pointing this out. If you have that problem, then check out the links in the show notes for a way that you might fix it. Okay, Blunty. Well, now we move from the public service announcements into the actual news. Those were pretty heavy PSAs. I think those are definitely news. But the first official story that we've got today relates to Major League Drone Racing. And if you're new to Major League new to this, you haven't heard of this, we've covered it a little bit. Major League Drone Racing, I kind of want to tell people what it is, but kind of nobody knows exactly what it is. It's a drone. It's a professional drone racing league, but unlike like DRL, where they have their own pilots that they hire who race, and it's kind of more like a television show than a sports league in some ways. Unlike DCL, where there are teams, right? But the teams are represented. They represent countries, I believe, in DCL. So it's kind of like soccer. In that you've got, with Major League Drone Racing, it's sort of tailored after like baseball or football, where there's states and regions and each one has a team. There's the, you know, the San Francisco so-and-so and the Phoenix such-and-such. And what was so weird about this is like the website popped up and they were like, hey, we're going to have races. And it was, so we were sort of like, who are you and where did you come from? And how are you paying for all of this?
Yeah.
And I don't think we have any answers about that. We just have drama.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we just got some new information, basically. So
all right.
There's a post on the MLDR group by the owner and CEO, I believe, of MLDR, which is Richard Tulloch. And he posted, there were some rumors going around, and he posted to clear up those rumors. And he basically says that, you know, this isn't going to be easy. The community is extremely close in the drone racing, and he expects to be watched closely. He says, obviously, I'm not perfect. He says, it is correct that Anthony Knight, that's AK for people who don't know, is no longer a part of MLDR. And I would be a fool to say this does not affect the company's direction. Absolutely ridiculous to believe an entire company revolves around just one person and not even me, that sort of thing. So he says he's not quitting. He's still pushing MLDR. He's still got a bunch of teams. There's only one person that left. And everything will be fine. I know other people have had concerns, obviously, because AK was kind of the link to the drone community. And that's certainly why I picked up the story originally about MLDR and why we talked about it the first time we talked about it. So it'll be interesting to see how this moves forward. You know, they are selling tickets for the first races, you know, that are in May, I believe. So, it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, George, there was some question over whether we were going to cover this story, because if it's just pure drama with no facts and no meat behind it and no consequence, then we wouldn't cover it. But and there isn't a ton of meat behind it. There were some posts that were made that were then taken down. And because those were taken down, we're going to respect that by not actually sort of delving into that information. But this post from Richard Tulloch is public, and so we're going to cover it. It is only one side of the story, of which there certainly are more than one side. There's just one side for every person involved.
We did reach out to AK and he declined to comment. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, as Jory says in the Discord, the only reason they had any credibility was because of AK. And so if he left, I'm not making that statement, but that's a sentiment that is shared by a lot of people. And, if that's how you feel, then you've got to be wondering, you know, if the MLDR is something you're interested in now.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, My opinion of it is, without AK being there, it sort of leaves a gap where we're not sure about the future of the program. You know, right. For me, the indicator that everything's going well is AK sticking around and being part of it and making sure everything's going properly. And like, I would assume he wouldn't put something bad behind his name. And then him leaving, you know, does, you know, we don't exactly know why. Again, we don't have really direct information, and he could have been fired. He could have left by on his own. We don't really know that information.
Right.
But no matter what, him not being associated means, you know, it's up in the air. We have a bunch of people who've been signed who are drone pilots, you know, and they're
right.
Hopefully, you know, they're excited to do their thing. There's a bunch of teams they've got set up and they've got races set up, but you know, the owner, somebody nobody knows, and the main people doing this now are people that nobody really knows, and they're not part of the drone community. So it's going to be there's going to be a lot of apprehension from people that might not have been there previously.
Yeah, if a random person showed up and said, "Hey, I'm starting a drone racing league, and I want a whole bunch of people to come race for me," and there would be a lot of suspicion about that in the drone racing community and in the FPV community in general. And having people with credibility behind them who are longstanding members of that community to then say, "Okay, I'm in on this," then buys you some credibility. So now there are, as you said, Blunty, there are other racers, some of them in the chat. I think I saw Buddha FPV in the chat saying, you know, "I work for MLDR. I'm still in. It's all good." Richard Tulloch says it's all good. So maybe it's all good. But I mean, I think the concern that one might have would be, well, what is the concern that one might have? What's the worst case downside of this?
I think the concern is that you've got a whole bunch of pilots roped in and a whole bunch of money floating around and a whole bunch of sponsors, I assume, that are coming, and a whole bunch of tickets that you're selling. Presumably, that's the goal, to sell these tickets. Mm-hmm. And now we don't know, you know, we're not sure, you know, are people that are working for this even going to be paid? And like, how does all this end up? And like, you know, there's a lot of pieces to a new company that's coming out of nowhere and saying like, "Hey, we're going to revolutionize drone racing."
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't even have, you know, there's no history in drones, and suddenly we're going to say, "Hey, we're going to beat DRL at their own game and make the best drone racing league that can happen." You know, I think that's a big ask to say right out of the gate, and that's how they're doing it. They're signing up a bunch of teams, and they're getting a bunch of season stuff ready.
They made a big splash.
Yeah, they're not. To me, the way it's presented is they're not doing something small to start. They're doing out of the gate big, and so I think a lot of people, you know, win big, fail big, sort of thing, I think is you know, the position that I'm seeing. So.
Yeah. I mean, when someone comes out with a new crypto coin or new cryptocurrency or new crypto whatever, and they say, "This is the next big thing," I say, "Okay, well, I can see how this is a ripoff." When someone comes out and says, "You know what I want to do? I want to start a new drone racing league." On some level, I'm like, if this is and I'm not saying it is, but like, if this is a scam or a ripoff, it's a really bad one.
Well, like, yeah. I mean,
I'm going to start a drone racing league. I'm going to put $1 million into it, and I don't know what the path to profitability is, and neither do you. So, yeah. I mean, on some level, why would they do this other than that they just want to do it? Doesn't mean they're not potentially going to do some shitty things. Lots of people in FPV have done shitty things with the best of intentions. So,
yeah, I think we're sort of at a wait and see situation, but at least, you know, everybody knows now that AK is not a part of it. And I guess we'll see how it goes moving forward. We'll keep an eye on it. I'll just say personally, I'm going to be a little farther away from it, knowing that he's not a part of it, and keeping an eye on it. And hopefully it goes well, you know?
Yeah. Okay. So. Same. I mean, I have a lot of respect, I will say, for Richard's statement. Because I think that there is a level of professionalism that is often missing in FPV, because a lot of people in the FPV community don't have a big history in business. They're small companies or they're individuals. And then when people have a dispute or a disagreement about employment or pay or whatever, then it all spills out. I frankly have been guilty of this in the past. Letting my dirty laundry make it onto the social media and arguing with people who I should have been having private messages with. And I was really pleased that Richard's statement was basically like, you know, he didn't say, "F that guy, here's why we fired him," or anything along those lines. He just said, you know, "Here, we're going to be fine." So we don't know the details. We're really not entitled to know the details unless someone decides to share them, in which case it's, you know, and we'll just see how it goes going forward.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Mario Kart. We need Mario Kart style drone racing with shells and bananas, etc. Interesting. Quadfather has a good point, Blunty. I usually don't call an audible on stories in the middle of a stream. Do we need to do a PSA for the HD Zero goggles with the antenna connector? Do we know what I'm talking about?
No idea.
Oh, okay. We're not going to cover that this week, but then we'll make sure it gets covered next week. I did see that, and that is a PSA that deserves the short version for folks who have the HD Zero goggles. I don't know how many people have even gotten them yet. The SMA connectors are not screwed to the shell. They're just screwed sort of against the shell. And so if you were too violent with them or whack them, they could break off the board. And there's a fix which involves putting a backer nut on the underside. There's a video about it out there. We'll make sure we get it in the next one. There's a little mini PSA for you. Blunty, tweet FPV has a video about it. We should cover it next week. Thank you for putting that out, Quadfather. You can email stuff like that to news at fpvknowitall.com. Don't assume that we're going to... I saw that tweet video and I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And then I didn't send it to Blunty and go, hey, we need to cover this because, like, I don't know, it just didn't occur to me. Please don't assume that we're going to cover this stuff just because it's so obvious we must know. A lot of times we do, but you can always email news at fpvknowitall.com for the fix to make sure we get that stuff. Yep. Alrighty. Next up, we have news about, and people have been saying this should be done. Is this finally it? A freestyle FPV contest. People have been saying this should be done for the longest time. And as far as I know, I mean, the Tiny Whoop freaking goddamn, you know, the 52 weeks of time. I go. Thank you. I'm sorry. I apologize. I should know that. iGow is one example of, that's an example of a freestyle competition. I guess Bockgrinder has his showdowns, but this is a little bit different than all of that.
Yeah. This previously, for people who didn't know, this was in a Facebook group and this was run directly through a Facebook group, but now they've renamed it to Acrobatics 2023. And this is the new season where basically, similar to like you were talking about with iGal, there's challenges that they're doing. They've done this for a couple of years already. And basically you do challenges and you get a scoring system. And there's info about the scoring system here you can check out.
I do want to check it out.
Yeah, and then you go through and you get scored and the winners get prizes. And I believe they mainly get pushed on social media. So you can... Their stuff gets shared and they can get more people seeing their content.
This is really interesting. Celebration videos promoting. So there's no actual like prize money. It's just for credibility and of course, pride. It does seem a little bit similar to iGow in that people will post and submit prize challenges. Winners will be picked each month. And you vote with the Facebook group. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, or you vote with reactions, so.
That's interesting. This brings up one of the questions and criticisms of freestyle competitions, which is that, like, when you race, it's whoever passes the finish line and then they win the race. But when you do a freestyle competition, the question is, how do you score it? And one way to do it is with public voting. But then the criticism of that is that it becomes a popularity contest.
Yes.
You know, if Mr. Definitely. Steel puts in a pack, a lot of people, it's going to be a great pack, don't get me wrong, but a lot of people are going to vote for it just because it's Mr. Steel. And unknown pilots would have to be some percent better just to have that overcome that social factor. I've often thought that there should be a freestyle contest similar to scoring of gymnastics or Olympic ice skating or maybe skateboarding street style skateboarding where you get points from judges based on criteria. And it seems like no, when I first heard about this, I thought, oh, is this going to be that? And unfortunately it sounds like it isn't.
Yeah, I do agree that might be a good way to go. It's tough, you know, because freestyle is kind of subjective. I mean, you could do regimented tricks, but there's going to be a lot of those. And then how you handled all those would be interesting. But I guess I don't know that that much about figure skating judging either. But it does seem like judging makes more sense. You know, iGAL, of course, does it where you're just winning or losing the challenge, you know,
and then it's binary. And then, either you get through or you don't.
Yeah. And then there are cutoff weeks where there's like a time. So, you know, if you've done the most laps around a thing in a time, or if you've done the shortest time doing a thing, you know, the top 50% or whatever, move on. So
I'm thinking about it I did figure roller skating when I was like 13. First of all, a lot of people don't know that everybody's familiar with Olympic ice skating and figure skating. People do that on roller skates too. It's way less prestigious. You say, oh, I figure skate. And they're like, oh, really? It's like, oh, no, it's just roller skating. But if I remember right, like when you go to a freestyle competition, you know, there are certain mandatory tricks that you have to do, right? And then there are scoring criteria based on like how well you do the trick. And so you certainly could do something like that for a freestyle competition. You could lay out mandatory tricks, then someone comes up with a routine that contains those tricks. Of course, with a figure skating competition, you have an ice rink, and that is where you do the stuff, right? I think maybe a better analogy, and it always comes back to skateboarding for me, a better analogy would be skateboarding where, and I actually don't know how skateboarding is scored, but I should try to learn more about this and see what kind of, how you could come up with a freestyle scoring system for FPV freestyle, because I really think it needs to be done.
You made a scoring system a while back for freestyle videos, not like competition-wise, but like quality-wise, right?
Yeah. Judging on like several different criteria for the videos. Anybody knows how, I could look it up, but if anybody knows a good model for a scoring system for FPV, because I think I'm always like, don't reinvent the wheel, right? Somewhere out there, there is a discipline that has the same problems that FPV freestyle does in terms of how do you score it? And they've come up with a good answer for how to judge and how to score it. And if you know of one, email me, jb@joshuabardwell.com, and say, look, Bardwell, here's the way that this needs to be done. And who knows? Maybe we'll figure it out. Okay. Next up, we've got a very exciting story.
Yeah, the drone speed record has been broken, and officially with Guinness. So Guinness has logged that average speed down as the fastest speed, and that is now 224 miles an hour.
224 miles an hour.
Yeah, and talked about before, he mentions on the screen, you know, you've got to go at least 100 meters, you've got to average the speed over that 100 meters, and then you got to go both directions into the wind and out of the wind. And so that's how they get, you know, his fastest speed he hits is 257 miles an hour.
Jesus!
However, that's with the wind and in the favorable direction at the peak. So his average turns out to be 224, which is how the speed record is set.
This is an extraordinary achievement, first of all. Even more extraordinary, when I heard this was done, I was like, oh, interesting. And then I saw that it was Ryan Lademan. And actually, I'm very excited about this because I think that Lademanina, does that help? No. Dang it. I did a video with him and his partner. Here we go. World drone speed record, 200 miles per hour. So this is not linked in the show notes because I didn't think to add it. But if you guys want to search for world drone speed record, 200 miles per hour interview, it's actually a three-parter. I broke it out. I wouldn't do that today. I just posted this one, but things were different back then. The details, now this is not the exact same drone, I don't think, that he used to break the record. At the time, they had broken 200 miles an hour, but it was not an official record attempt, and this was 4 years ago in 2019. They were trying to get Guinness certified, apparently they finally did. The drone that they built is surprisingly mundane, like you would think it was, you know, 12S! It was surprisingly mundane, and it was all just optimization and aero that got them this speed. So I would encourage anybody who wants to know more about this to go ahead and watch that interview. There's a lot of good information in there.
Yeah. Also, just for anybody curious, I know a lot of people have talked about how other RC things have gone faster. This is specifically set up to be a battery-powered, remote-controlled quadcopter. Mm-hmm. So this is specifically a quadcopter record. So
we know that like airplanes go faster, right? Yeah. EDF jets.
And,
jets go faster.
You say it's kind of like a normal build, but if you take a look at that, if you click on the Guinness World Records link in his description,
yeah,
you can see what it looks like, and it's a little different than we would normally see. Something more like we would see from Quad Mover.
You're 100% right. By the way, people in the chat are like surprised and shocked that it wasn't Quad Mover who broke the record. I guess what I mean is, like, I don't remember if it was, I think it was 6S, maybe it was even 4S. Like, I talked to him in the interview. It's been 4 years since the interview, so I apologize for not remembering all the details. And I was like, what voltage are you using? Are you using, like, 10S on some ridiculous KV motor? He's like, nah, it's 2700 KV, 2207 motors on 6S. You know, we just find the right prop and then get the aero, of course. And and that's where he gets, it was really eye-opening to me. Because, like, it shows that if you have really shitty aerodynamics, and then you're going to need a ton of power, and you're not going to break 200 miles an hour. And if you have really good aero and really optimize your props, you don't need a bonkers, ridiculous amount of power to go super, super fast.
Yeah. Also, for anyone who didn't see, there's also a... you can go into the... the first link in the video description as well. And he's got a whole summary of sort of his history doing this and his practicing with this stuff and how he built this and what it all contains and stuff as well. So,
yeah, this is the actual attempt with the black box overlay. Where's the
it's the first link in that video description there.
That's this. Oh, the first link in the video description. Oh, yep. Quadstar drones. Yeah. Yeah. I want to see. Does he have more information about the build?
Yeah, he goes through specs here and then talks a little bit about process and stuff.
I want to see that. Here we go. So 500 grams, 6S Tattoo R-Line, 35 amp ESC, 2207, 2450 kV motor. That's what I'm talking about. When people say, how do I build a drone that goes fast? And people are like, you need 2700 kV motors on 8S voltage, yada, yada. No, you don't. 2207 Cobra motor. Haven't seen those in a long time. 2450 KV on 6S. Okay, so that is high KV for 6S. 35 amp ESC, 500 gram. You know, it's all about the aero. It's only if you don't want to have great aero that you need bonkers power to go fast. Fascinating stuff. Congratulations to Ryan.
Yeah, absolutely.
And surely his team. I'm sure he didn't do this all by himself.
And I was going to say, in his repeated attempts to do this and finally getting it to happen, like you said, you interviewed him a while back. He's been working on this for a while, and he finally made it happen. So
now, we have to acknowledge, Blunty, we cannot finish this without acknowledging Quad Mover. Quad Mover posted this video, 313 kilometers per hour at 50,000 RPM. Quad Mover is just completely nuts. What is 313 kilometers per hour in miles per hour?
It's like 200-ish, somewhere in there.
So he's in the ballpark of the same speed, but I believe that was his peak speed, and he did not do an official record attempt with two directions.
Yeah, and the peak speed of Ryan's was 414. So.
Okay. So for anybody who's like, Quad Mover beat that, he deserves the record. It wasn't an official record attempt.
Also, I think Quad Mover is using micro, right? He's trying sub 250. I don't know if that's
this one is sub 250, which is, of course, this is sub 400, he says.
Oh, okay.
Sub 400. So anyway, obviously what Quad Mover's doing is also nutso and super impressive. Quad Mover could make a freaking bologna sandwich, and I'd probably be impressed with how he did it. He's an impressive person, and we don't mean to take anything away from him, but today, Ryan Lademan holds the record, so congratulations to him.
Yeah. I took it from DRL, it seems like nobody had just really done a proper speed record, because DRL's was all the way down at 163.
When I interviewed, and that record held, I believe, when I interviewed them back in 2019.
Yeah.
And DRL, like, they had a 10S. I don't know why they had to work so hard to get just a... I have a quadcopter that went 160. No, it didn't, because that would be illegal, because over 100 miles an hour.
99 miles an hour.
I have a quadcopter that the guy who sent it to me told me that it could do 160 miles an hour. I personally could not say that I'd ever verified that without getting in trouble with the FAA. But like, my point is, DRL was like killing themselves to build a 160 mile an hour quad, and Phantom FPV just is like, oh, let's see how fast I can go. And he breaks 160 miles an hour. And I'm like, well, apparently, you know, it's not that much of a speed record. So this 200 mile an hour record, it's before you think, oh, I'm going to go out and go, I'm going to go 200 miles an hour, because of the nonlinear nature of drag, it's easy to hit 100 miles an hour. It's not that hard to hit 150 or 160 miles an hour. It's really hard to hit 200 miles an hour.
Also, don't forget, you can't be going down. You can't have airfoils that actually give you lift. Like, there's rules about how this stuff works, too.
Okay. All right. We got an event to talk about next.
Yes, we do. This is the fourth annual Tiny Whoop Race at the Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio. We wanted to let you know, I believe we talked about this last year, and they're doing it again, February 24th through the 26th. 64 pilots, and this will sell out real quick. It did last year, I believe, sold out very quickly. So if you're interested in this, get ready to buy the tickets when they show up here. I believe tickets go on sale. Let's see. Let's make sure here. I think it's on the 31st.
On sale Jan 28 at 12 p.m. is what it says.
There we go. Yeah. So make sure you guys are ready.
And you can hit remind me. Like, what time zone is that? I don't know. Hit remind me. So you can get it. You can get a reminder 1 hour before the sale starts. Don't screw around if you want this.
Yeah. So the 64 pilots, top 32, will be broken into two classes, and there'll be a winner in the 17 to 32 sport class and the pro class, top 16. So it should be fun. You get to race around the museum at the United States Air Force and have some fun with some other folks. So
yeah, check it out. Is there links to footage? There must be, right? I've seen footage from this race in the past. I would hope that it would be up here somewhere. No?
I have to
search for it.
Yeah, I think you got to YouTube that one.
That's unfortunate. Well, anyway, you should YouTube it. I want to show Black Jungle, as usual, is posting memes in the Discord server. And I haven't posted. I have been missing them because I've been super busy. But, just doing the stream. But this one, I'm going to assume that Max Q is something related to drag and air resistance. And for that reason, this joke is a nerd joke, and I want to include it on the stream.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's next, Blunty?
All right. Next up, we've got It's Barely News, everybody's favorite segment. We've got quite a few stories for you on It's Barely News this week.
Indeed.
Little
stories that don't quite make the cut to be fully newsworthy, or stuff we don't know a lot about, so we don't comment on it, but we thought you would find it entertaining.
And we might talk about it for a while if we find it interesting at the time, but normally we're just going to skip through them. That's how it goes. Yeah. So, first up, underwater drone. We've got an underwater drone for you. This is neat because I haven't seen this before. It uses 6 propellers, so it can move in any direction underwater, which is pretty neat. We've seen a lot of underwater drones and different designs and styles, but I believe this is the first one I've seen that kind of has these 6 motors to let it kind of go any direction.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Do they rotate, or are they just fixed, and then it just by, you know, which one it spins, it rotates, it goes whichever direction it wants to go?
I believe it's just the arrangement that it goes with. It can, through that arrangement of propellers, it can kind of go any direction. Hmm. I believe that's the case.
Indeed.
So more drones coming through and underwater drone technology stuff.
I mean, it's something that I think hobbyists don't pay a lot of attention to. I'm not sure why underwater drones are not seeming as interesting to most hobbyists as ground-based or air-based drones, but it's a whole domain in which you can explore, move, etc. Certainly from a professional standpoint, there's a lot of room, just like there's room for, you know, aerial inspection and scouting. There's a lot of room for underwater inspection and so forth. Like, it's interesting that we don't see more of these.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have a, there's underwater inspection now, but it does seem pretty bulky and costly and stuff when you watch people doing it. Like, I've definitely seen, you know, videos of people inspecting oil lines and stuff out in the water and the transatlantic sea cables and stuff. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how these sorts of things revolutionize that work.
Yeah, RC Test Flight just did a video about some underwater rover. I watched it. It was super entertaining. Just driving around underwater. You know, I don't like to go to the beach. I'm a bad person. I don't enjoy the beach. It's sandy.
I'm convinced most people don't enjoy the beach. They just enjoy not being at work or wherever they're normally at. And they think that, like, I've grew up with the beach. It's horrible. The water's salty and it gets.
Yeah, you like fishing, for example. You like sea fishing. You like going to the lake and fishing. You don't like the beach, though.
And I'm talking about the Gulf where it's like white sand and it's still annoying, you know, you get sand everywhere. Yeah.
But what really, and I specifically don't like the ocean because the ocean, like, it's huge and vast and it wants to eat you. And I'm convinced. Yeah. And one of the things I don't like about the ocean is, like, you go in the water and, like, you can't really know, like, like, when I'm walking, like, I'm going to be barefoot and I'm going to walk around and there could be like rocks. And if I'm hiking and I'm going to step on a rock, I can see the rock. If there's a snake I can see the snake and, like, theoretically, but if I'm in the ocean, I don't know what the frick is out there with me in the water. And so then Daniel Riley makes this little rover and he's driving it around in the lake. And I'm like, oh yeah, no, that's all the stuff I don't want to step on.
Right.
So
yeah.
I feel much better swimming than walking or wading. But then by the time you're swimming, you're out deep enough that the waves can just, like, suck you out. And then, you know, then just another lost soul.
You just swim sideways. I don't know if you know that, but if anybody here ever gets caught in a riptide and you get swept out to the ocean, you just swim sideways. Riptides are directional, but they're small. So you just go sideways and then you can swim in.
You know what? I have another thought about that. Don't go in the ocean.
And then fair enough.
You know where I've never gotten sucked out into the ocean by a riptide?
Not in the ocean. Yeah.
Not on the beach. Right.
That's fair.
So that's my, so I'm going to start on the beach. I'm going to take all my clothes off except one, like, so now I'm going to get sunburned. So I'm going to slather this shit on me so the sun can't burn my skin. And now I'm going to sit down in some sand and I'm just going to get a whole lot of sand in my clothes. And then in order to, like, cool off and get that sand out of my clothes, I'm going to go sit in some water. Oh, is it nice, clear, fresh water? No, it's got salt in it and it burns your eyes and it dries out your skin and dries out your lips. And it's just going to slap you in the face repeatedly. Who decided this was a good idea? No. All right, moving on.
All right.
That's next why up? It's barely news. That's a little bit of a rant.
Yeah.
Next up, for God's sake.
All right. Next up, we've got a video that's never been caught on film before, and it was caught by a drone. We've got a man caught a moose shedding its antlers. This is this has never been caught on video before. We scroll down a little bit, we could see that video.
Yeah, we're not going to play the video because I don't want to get copy whatever bullshit by CBS News. You can go watch this. It's linked in the show notes.
Yeah. Pretty neat stuff.
See, look, drones, there's the antler right there. Sorry, Blunt, cut you off.
Drones allowing stuff you couldn't get otherwise. So.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. This moose is just like, I'm trying to shed my antlers, dude. Can I get some privacy? No. It's kind of cool. For moose, antlers are primary tools in sexual reproduction. I did not know that. And I'm picturing it. Let's move on.
All right. Next up, we've got a story that's pretty neat. Self-soldering PCBs are going around. This is a project that was happening, and it seems pretty cool. So basically, the idea here is maybe you want to build a PCB or design a PCB or order something that's not already made. And if you do that with these boards, you can then mount all your components and then hook up some leads to the thermal end, and the thermal end will heat the board up and then we'll flow the board for you and flow all the components on the board.
That's really interesting. It just will reflow itself.
Yeah.
Do you have to apply like solder paste or does it come pre-pasted?
Yeah, I believe you would apply solder paste. I don't know that there, I don't know that there are many examples other than the one this guy built, but I believe he just applied everything to it and then used the thermal in to remove it. So
like it's a built-in reflow oven.
Yeah, kind of. Basically, if you don't have a way to reflow or you can't easily reflow, yeah, you could just snap those guys there. And I assume you could then snap that thermal in off there, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, it does look like it's made to snap off right here. Yeah. Of course, then you've got a PCB with a whole bunch of additional sort of weight and mass that it doesn't need to have, right?
Sure,
like of course. The heating element stays in it.
Yeah, but you're basically making that trade-off for getting something you can reflow without an oven. So
that's kind really of interesting. Cool. Very innovative. There's definitely a use for that somewhere.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Next up.
Next up, we've got a dog rescue.
We want to let you know
about a dog that was rescued from a frozen mountain on Christmas Day.
Oh, look at that poor dog. And these people are trying to climb up to it. And it's like running away because, you know.
It's a dog.
Dogs do.
But yeah, he got caught up on the mountain, and they were able to locate him with the drone camera and keep an eye on him while they rescued him.
Nice. Oh yeah, with a sausage, I would hope. They're like, hey boy, come here, I got a sausage for you. Oh, there's some drone footage. That's a beautiful mountain, too. My goodness.
Yeah.
That's some gorgeous footage.
Way up there.
Yeah. Oh, he's thinking about it. He's like, hold on, maybe this is a good idea. Guys have sausages. I think that's better than being cold, alone, and starving. Just takes a little doggy brain a little while to get around to it. Oh, there we go. We got him. We got him, guys. We saved the dog. Yay. Hopefully all right. The Telegraph. I don't know why I think that CBS News is going to copy strike us, but the Telegraph isn't. So, anyway.
All right.
Next up.
In Velocidrone, thanks to the Combat Pack and Polyworld, Stefan has now made a track on his own in Velocidrone that's Nick Burns' house. So that's pretty
cool. Wow. Now, is this a community made with public tools, or is this a Velocidrone made with private tools?
My understanding is this is a community made with the tools in the game because they added Polyworld. You remember they added Polyworld in combat, and I believe he used the Polyworld assets to make this.
And so this was presumably an enormous amount of grueling work with bare bones tools, because like the track builder tools that I'm not intimately familiar with the Velocidrone track builder, but presumably it's not as full featured as like a CAD program, and someone put a labor of love in here to do it.
Yeah. People will know the track designer better by the name Boner FPV. And as many people have known, Boner has made many, many complicated tracks in Velocidrone. He did the Houston Nightspot. He did a bunch of really neat. If you basically look at Boner FPV on Velocidrone, you'll see a bunch of crazy tracks. So this is another one. This is Nick Burns is the track name if you want to check it out. And yeah, that's pretty cool.
Very cool. I'm a little bit jealous to see another FPV pilot with their house in a simulator, but hey, I guess I can't be the only one.
Very true.
Congratulations to Nick, and thank you to Boner for the massive amount of work.
Yeah.
Presumably massive amount of work. What's next? Blunty? See-through walls.
Yeah, the last story we've got for you today is a story about seeing through walls with Wi-Fi. So basically, they've developed a system, which they've been working on for a long time, to essentially see through walls with Wi-Fi signals. They've done this before with cell phone signals. In 2018, they proved you could do something similar to this with Wi-Fi, but now they've got a much more dense system for mapping out basically pixels based on human body surface, based on Wi-Fi maps and stuff. They look at signal phases and amplitudes sent and received by routers, and then it basically maps those to coordinates on human bodies based on bounce patterns and stuff, I guess. It's obviously pretty advanced stuff. But one of the cool things about this is they're also mounting it on a drone. Well, I guess cool is relative here because you're looking in somebody's house. But they can mount it on a drone and then fly it next to a house and do something similar in the air live.
This story, of course, you know, what people are using drones to see inside my house. This is exactly what I've been afraid of. I assume that the application here is for, like, law enforcement, military, and other people who presumably have the legal right to look inside your home without your with or without your permission.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out exactly where this falls under that kind of stuff. Because, I don't know. With, you know, this is AI-powered, and I don't know. A lot of these tools may become public, you know, with how the stuff works. So it'll be interesting to see how the landscape shows up.
Well, alrighty, I guess so. It is super interesting. It's also super, like, the drone angle is almost secondary, I think.
Yes.
But the potential for privacy violations is real. But, you know, there you go. Is what it is.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to bring us to Blunty. We have 7 minutes left before the hour. We should come up with a rant or something. Got anything you want to rant about?
Not offhand. Not offhand.
Me neither. I guess we're going to end up. We're going to close. Oh shoot! I screwed up. We didn't do the plugs, Blunty. We haven't done the plugs. I was supposed to do that before. Now everybody's just going to leave because they know it's over and they don't want to hear the plugs. Yeah,
right.
It's all right. We don't need to do any plugs. We're going to wrap it up. We're just going to call it done.
Yeah. If you've got news to send in, don't forget to send it to news@fpvknowitall.com. That's down there on the bottom of the screen, and it is every week and the whole show. So,
yeah. I'm trying to think of a rant, but I'm feeling pretty good today. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to audition for the. Hang on. Look, now I'm a hacker. See, hoodie, really. Look, now I'm a hacker. You have to make sure that only, like, your nose and your beard shows. Right?
Yeah. Okay. That'll be the Livestream Clips channel thumbnail. The profile picture.
It needs to have my face.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, hang on. Now I'm an anime character, because only one eye is covered.
Yeah. It would also work with a bang, right? Yeah.
Well, I'm not pulling off bangs, so I need to have something else.
Yeah.
And now I'm an X-Men in training.
All right.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for coming out. We'll see you next week. Happy flying, y'all.
Appreciate it, guys.